So we're going to talk for today and for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about the halachot of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Today we're going to start with the minhagim of Chodesh Elul. We're going to talk specifically about, we're going to spend most of the time about talking about Slichot. Talking about there's a lot of important things to know about Slichot, about the halachot of Slichot. We're going to talk also a little bit about blowing shofar. But before we even get to that, we'll do a nice introduction to the month of Elul. From the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch in Source 1, the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch was written in the 1800s in Hungary. It's largely a source for the Hungarian Minhagim. It comes from the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch.
What's your name?
Gansfried.
That's
Gansfried.
Correct. Yes, thank you.
Shlomo Gansfried, I believe.
Yes.
Okay, so the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch says, the period from Elul till after Yom Kippur is a period of Yemei Ratzon. I think that's a bit hard to define, a period of God desires us more, whatever that exactly means, but we generally tend to say that this period is Eight Ratzon, Yemei Ratzon. Even though tshuva, HaKadosh Baruch Hu receives somebody that does tshuva, mikol makom yamim elu mufcharim yoter umuzumanim letshuva liyotam yimei rachamim v'yimei ratzon. But these days are even more so for being HaKadosh Baruch Hu being prepared. Again, what exactly you know that means? It's not that's a human terminology. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu it's maybe a bit easier to do tshuva. These days are more prepared to do tshuva. Kibarosh Chodesh Elul Allah Moshe El Har Sinai. So what happened on Rosh Chodesh Elul? Moshe went up to Har Sinai, Likabalu Chochniot, Vinishtasham Arbim Yom. Moshe went to Har Sinai on Aleph Elul, Rosh Chodesh Elul, stay there for 40 days, the Yarad Ba'asiri Bitishrei, and Moshe came down on Yom Kippur. Moshe came down, went up on Rosh Chodesh Elul, came down to Yom Kippur. Shehaya Az Gamar Kapara. On Yom Kippur was the day that the Jewish people achieved full kapar for the Chet HaEgel. So the Chet HaEgel, we generally say, happened on Shivas or B'Tamuz. And then there was a whole period of tshuva after that. Then on Rosh Chodesh Elul, Moshe went up. And then Moshe was davening for 40 days. And there was full kapara on Yom Kippur, which is the day that Moshe came down with the second set of the Luchot. Okay. So because this was the period of tshuva, umin az hukdishu yamim elu liyimei ratzon. So since that time period, these days were set forth of these days of yimei ratzon, v'yom hasiri b'tishrei liyom hakipurim, and because Moshe came down on that day, that's the Yom Kippur. Uminag barov v'makomo litano b'erav rosh chodesh elu v'lasot seder yom kippur katan kiddush yachinu liyivam l'tshuva. And there's in fact a minhag that I don't know if people do this. That he quotes that there's a minhag to even fast on Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, because Rosh Chodesh Elul is the day that Moshe went up to Har Sinai. There was some point in the middle of the tshuva process. So there's a day to, there's a minhag to fast on Erev Rosh Chodesh, so that we can already start to prepare ourselves to do tshuva.
That's Sfardim start there,
Okay, very good. We're going to come to when we start, but this is going to be the reason that the Sfardim start now, because this is the day that Moshe went up, and they like we're already seeing here that this whole time period from Moshe going up to Moshe coming down is this time period of tshuva. So that's why they say slichot every day. But it's already very 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 old minhag. So we'll see that inside in some of the sources in a few minutes. But yeah, very good. Okay, so. Fine, so there's this fast that some people do. I think we'll speak next week a little bit. There's not so much to say, but there's also minhag to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah, so I think we'll talk a little bit about that next week. A lot of people fast until Chatzot or something like that, but that we'll talk in more details next week, Bavli Neder. So now, so the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch quotes, Harav Adonenu Rabbi Yitzchak Luria Zichrono Livracha. So the Arizal, this is the Arizal. The Arizal wrote, Va'asher, so now he's going to quote a few, there's a, I don't know if the word is mnemonic, not mnemonics, but Elul is Roshe, right. stands for a whole bunch of things, yeah. Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li. So now the Kitzer Shulchan Aruch quotes four, I think at least four things that it stands for. So he says the first one is, Va'asher lo tzada v'ha'elokim ina liyado v'samti lecha. So this is by when somebody accidentally kills somebody else. So they have to go to an Ir Miklat. So the Torah tells us, Vasher lo tzada, if you had not been preparing to kill somebody, like I think there's a lying in ambush or like side hunting, if you had not been prepared to kill somebody, but God, inali yado v'samti lecha, God caused it to come to be, and v'samti lecha makom, that's the end of the pasuk, Asher yanu shama, God is going to make a place, or you're going to have a place that you run to the Ir Miklat. So the Arizal pointed out that Inali Yado Visamti Lecha, the first four letters there spell out Elul, right? Aleph, Ina, Lamed Liado, Vav from Visamti, and Inali Yado Visamti Lecha, the Lamed spells out Elul, Rosh Tevod Elul. So what does this mean? Lomar ki chodesh zehu eight ratzon lekava tshuva lecha ta'im sha'asa b'chol hashana. Right, that Elul is a time to, it almost seems like to take refuge in God. Right, the context of the Torah is you're taking refuge in the city of refuge. Right. But if you kind of take it a little bit out of context, it's we're going to see this a little bit more in the next verse too. Aspect. You're taking refuge in God, and that's what Elul is. Okay. And then it even alludes to the fact that Gam Remez Shagam al Hashgagot Sarech Laso Tshuva Bechodesh Hazeh Ot Bechodesh Hazeh. Right, in this pasuk, the person for an Ir Miklat, that whole thing was by an accident. It was a shkaga, right? The whole point is that they went out, they hadn't intended to kill somebody, but God caused it to come to be that they ended up sinning. So you see from here that even things that you didn't deliberately do, you need atonement for them. So this is an even greater reference to the atonement of this time period. And then the Arizal quotes some of the other ones that we're more familiar with. O Darshu Vershumot. Od Amru Dorshe Rishumot. So another explanation is Umal Hashem Elokecha et Levavcha v'et Levav Zarecha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to circumcise our hearts and the hearts of our children. So et Levavcha v'et Levav is Elul. See, the Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed is a reference to Elul. The next one, V'chein Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li, is Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed, another reference to Elul. The chayin ish l'rei ehu umatanot levyonim, right? This is from Purim. Ish l'rei ehu umatanot levyonim. You should give matanot levyonim. So ish aleph l'rei ehu lamed umatanot vav levyonim. Again, spells out elo. And the Kiddush Shulchan Aruch tells us a nice drasha from all this. Remez lishlosh advarim shehim tshuva tefilu tzedakah. That not the va'asher tzlot tzada v'helo kimin aliyado, but these last three he said, you see, each of these is a reference to either tshuva or tefillah or tzedakah. Which is a nice good dvar Torah to say over on Rosh Hashanah or any of these weeks leading up to it. So he explains it. Tshuva tefillah tzedakah shetzrichim lihizdaris b'hem b'chodesh zeh, that you have to seek them out. You have to stir yourself up to go to seek them out. Yeah. So umal Hashem romiz letshuva mila, that's a reference to doing tshuva to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ani ledodi romiz letfila shuhrina dodim. Like ani ledodi, I to my beloved. I guess davening is a personal conversation with a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So ani ledodi vedodi li is talking about tefila. And ish lerei ehu matana levyonim is tzedakah. So this is the Chodesh Elul. So Rabbi David Barofsky, who I use this article as one of my sources to prepare this year, he has a lot of halacha svarim on the VBM. So he tells us, he says, I would like to suggest a more precise description of the spiritual experience of Elul. As we mentioned above, the Arizal draws this connection between the unintentional killer who has to go to a city of refuge. So skipping to the second paragraph. So he says, I would like to suggest that while the month of Elul certainly prepares us for the holidays of Tishrei, right, like it's preparation, tshuva, tefillah, tzedakah, we're preparing for Tishrei. But the essence of Elul is a spiritual crisis, as reflected by the prayers and by the shofar. One who flees his victim's relatives, fearing retribution to the exile of a city of refuge, seeks protection, shelter, and safety because of his transgression. Similarly, one who sins seeks refuge with God, hoping and praying that his remorse and repentance will be accepted. So this was a very nice point here, that the connection to the unintentional killer seeking out refuge in the city. We're here, we're seeking out refuge with God, yeah.
And even more so, I mean, when you're going to the city, you did it unintentionally. Yeah. I mean, right. It happened, but you didn't do it. Like you said, you didn't lie in ambush. You didn't intentionally kill the right. person. And you were going to the city to Shiva. I mean, you're for repentance. Okay. But so for Elul, the sins that we commit intentionally throughout the year, we need to come to God.
All the more so you have to turn to God as refuge, right.
You have to come to God and say, hey, look, you know, we did this on purpose.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And then he quotes in the next sentence, just skipping to the end of the line there. However, the Arizal captures the true experience of Elul. Right? Yeah. The true experience of Elul is fleeing one's sins in fear and desperation in search of divine protection. Searching out God is the experience of Elul.
Is that what it means when it says that Hashem is in the field, that we should go and consume? We should look for him?
Seek out God. Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is the time period of us seeking. I will talk a little bit more about slichot in a few minutes. But yeah, okay. So we're gonna not spend so much time talking about blowing shofar. But one of the customs that we know of is we blow shofar every morning. So the Torah quotes an interesting medrash about why we blow shofar during this month. The Torah says, "Tanya bepirkei Rabbi Eliezer." And a lot of what we're going to talk about is going to come back to the fact that Moshe went up to Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Elul and stayed there for 40 days. So the Medrash, the Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer says, "Berosh Chodesh Elul Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Ale Elai Hahara," that God told Moshe to go up to the mountain to Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Elul. She'az Ala Lekabel Luchot Acharonot, and when so Moshe went up to get the second set of Luchot, the Haviru Shofar B'Machaneh. And on that day, when Moshe went up, there was a shofar that was blown in the machane, in the camp. There was a shofar that was blown when Moshe went up on Rosh Chodesh Elul. So Moshe al alahar shelo yitu od achar avodat gilulim. They blew the shofar so that the people would not stray after Avodah Zarah again. What this means, we'll come back to it in our next source, because it's a little bit hard to understand, right?
We're talking about the second time that he went up?
The second time that he went up, Moshe went up, and the day he went up, they blew a shofar to inform the people that Moshe was on his way up, to tell them the basic shot, to tell them, Moshe, I'm saying, I'm not here now, don't forget what just happened, don't forget that last time I left you, the Cheira Egel happened, I'm gone, don't, no more Avodah Zarah.
Oh,
yeah, no more Avodah Zarah, which is a hard thing. Rav Amital, who's the founder and Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Har Tzion, so it's from the Sefer that I have here, Eitratzon. He asks, we'll come to it in a second. I just want to finish this tour, but he asks, it's very hard to understand why what Moshe was so concerned about. The people sinned. They just spent Bnei Israel just spent a lot of time doing tshuva before Moshe even went up. It just happened. Why is Moshe so concerned that it's going to happen again 40 days later? Moshe, it seems a little bit strange that there's this concern that they're going to go back and do Avodah Zarah right after they just did it, and all the ramifications of them having done Avodah Zarah. Why would they do it again? So we'll see his answer in a minute. So the Torah tells us that this is why we blow a shofar on Rosh Chodesh Elul. V'Kadosh Baruch Hu nit'ale ba'oto shofar, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is uplifted, raised by the shofar, shenemar, Allah Elokim bitrua, God is raised up by the shofar, so this is, God was happy with this. V'Lachain, in the third line, hikinu chazal sheyu tokim b'rosh chodesh ela b'chol shana v'shana. So because they blew the shofar when Moshe went up on Rosh Chodesh Ela, we blow a shofar every single year on Rosh Chodesh, but then he adds, v'chol hachodesh, we also blow it the whole month, it seems like, could be that for a different reason. He has a few other reasons. B'chol haChodesh kidei lahazhir Yisrael sheyazu tshuva. It almost sounds like we blow it on Rosh Chodesh because Moshe went up, and we blow it the rest of the month to tell people it's time to do tshuva. Because right, shenemar im yitaka b'shofar ba'ir. So a pasuk from Amos is if the shofar blows in the city, will everybody not be scared? Or something along those lines, right? When the shofar blows, that's time to start to worry. Time to start to worry. So we blow the shofar. It almost sounds like we blow the shofar on Rosh Chodesh because that's when Moshe went up. Something connected to Avodah Zarah, reminding not to do Avodah Zarah. And we blow the shofar after that as a warning. Hey, now we're 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. Now it's time everybody should start to worry. And the chedela arbevet ha-satan, and to confuse the satan, which is something I think we'll probably, when we talk more about, we're going to have a whole shiur on shofar, I think, so we'll talk more about confusing the satan then. V'chei noadgin ba'ashkenaz liko b'chol boker v'erev achar tefillah. So very interesting. I've never seen any place that does it, but the Torah quotes that the minhag was to blow shofar in the morning and at night. I never saw. You ever see anything?
Say,
you ever seen?
Say chapter 27 warning.
Right. So maybe.
Yes, we do. Maybe,
yeah. I don't know if those are connected. I don't know if the reasons are connected or what. But yeah.
Well, the Jewish people need all the wake up.
All the wake up. Right. So yeah. Twice a day.
Or
right.
An evening. It's fine.
Right. 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 Right.
So we get it in Tarush.
So. So in Rav Amital in source 4 asked the question that we said a minute ago, how come we needed this reminder not to do Avodah Zarah? If they just did it and suffered tragic consequences, people shouldn't have needed a reminder.
Did they know that Moshe was going up to ask for forgiveness?
I would presume they knew.
I mean, because if they knew that, then they knew even something. More so, say to themselves, well, we don't want to.
He quotes before this, there's some Midrashim that, I guess it's from the Midrashim, it sounds like they probably did know. The people were concerned that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was never going to forget the Chet HaEgel, so the Midrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu assured them that he was going to forget it, but then they said, the Rav Amital quotes this whole Midrash, then they said, if you forget that we sinned, maybe you'll forget the covenant that we made also, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, that I'm not forgetting, but I am forgetting the Chet HaEgel. It seems like there was a lot of, right. And this is what he says, the people were very concerned that about the Chet HaEgel, so why would they just go do it right after? So he quotes, I don't know if we ever spoke about it here, but there's an interesting, it's a good shir in and of itself, what was the problem with the Chet HaEgel? What exactly was wrong with it? Was it real Avodah Zarah? Or he quotes Rabbi Yehuda Levi, and there's a few other Mefarshim who talk about it, is that it wasn't exactly Avodah Zarah, that the people wanted some type of intermediary between them and God, yes. that they just needed some physical manifestation, which Moshe had been, right. That was what Moshe had been, and now Moshe was gone, right. So they kind of needed something, and the whole problem was that's not a divine service that God asked from us. So this is the way that Rav Amital answers the question, is that if we turn to page 2, into the 4 lines down, which is the paragraph there, the beginning of that paragraph. So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu yada shebnei Yisrael lo yashuva v'yasu egel. He knew that they weren't going to make an egel. Achu chashash shema haratzon lahanig bitoy muchashti l'regesh. He thought that they would still have the strong feeling of making something tangible in front of them. Yovil lebechina acheret shel avodah zarah. It would just lead them to doing something else. They weren't going to make a cheda egel, but they could have been that they would have done something else. L'shem kach hayatzorech b'tkiat shofar. So that's why they blew the shofar. Tkiat zo maskira lanu. Shekol avoda shalonitz tavinu ba hi me'ein avoda zara. That if you serve God in a way that God did not ask from you, that is comparable to avoda zara. Comparable. If you do something that you think is a good way to serve God, right? Because you think that's how you think God should be served. He says that's me'ein. It's comparable to avoda zara. And then he has this other the next line also is very good. Lo chavaya datit alinu lechapeis. We shouldn't be seeking out all these religious experiences, all these kinds of things, elakiyum pashut shel devar Hashem. We should be seeking to fulfill the word of God, which is always going to be a concern to make sure that you're fulfilling the word of God and not trying all new experiences or things that you think make sense.
Shaul HaMelech, that was his mistake.
Because he did what he thought made, yeah.
He thought, well, very I'm going to yeah. save the animals.
That right, he thought it made sense. Serve to God, exactly. 100%, that's exactly this idea.
Said,
you didn't listen to God.
You didn't listen to God. God told you this is what you're supposed
100%,
to do.
100%. That's a perfect example of what we're talking about here.
Why they say, I mean, that you get more credit. You know, you would think that if you do something, a mitzvah, let's say, that you're not really instructed, let's say, maybe by God to do, that you're going to get more credit because you did it on your own. But they say you get more credit
right.
if Hashem instructed because right. it's more difficult because you have the chance that,
right.
you know, well,
right.
I'm not
right.
going
right.
to do it then.
So. Right, right. Very okay. good. And this is why the Beit Halevi, who the he was the father of Rav Chaim, the grandfather, the great grandfather of Rav Soloveitchik. So he Rosh Hashiva was possibly was, I think it was a, might have been a Rosh Hashiva in Volozhin. So he says that that we repeat Parshiyot Vayakel and Pekudei, which is largely all the same thing about the building the Mishkan and the big day Kahuna, and we already had it already. We already had it from the Parshiyot from beforehand, and he says that it keeps saying Kasher Tziva Hashem at Moshe because the Chet HaEgel happened in the middle, and now they're reemphasizing that everything was done Kasher Tziva Hashem because that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to do what God commands us. So this was the concern. So this is why I said we weren't going to spend so much time on shofar, but this is the reasons we blow shofar. It would seem that there's some two reasons the Moshe went up. It could be that this reason applies every day, and that this time period we want to remind ourselves that like Rav Amital says, that it's kiyum pashut shel dvar Hashem, that our goal is to fulfill the word of God. And also, like we saw, there's the element of when the shofar blows, should you not be scared and should you not be worried, and the fact that Rosh Hashanah, the Yom HaDin, is coming up. We're going to spend the rest of the shiur. This was not so much halachic, I don't think. We're going to spend the rest of the shiur talking about slichot, various issues that come up with slichot. It's going to be a bit more halachic. And we're going to start with the Torah. In source 5 tells us that there are three practices regarding saying slichot in this time period, this time of the year. So he says, V'yesh mi shemarbin lomar slichot v'tachanunu min Rosh Chodesh elav eilach. So the first opinion he quotes is people who increase saying slichot from Rosh Chodesh. People start on Rosh Chodesh, which, like we noted, was the minhag of the Sfaradim. Then the Rav Cohen said, "Minhag bet yeshiva lomar slichot v'tachanunim ba'aser yemei tshuva." So the minhag in Bavel, it seemed, from the great yeshiva in Bavel, I guess at the 800s, 900s, the year 1000, around then, was to say slichot only during the aser yemei tshuva, not beforehand. So that's the second minhag that we have. That I'm not sure if there's people who follow that one. I mean, we'll see that might come up a little bit in halacha lemaisa. That might come up a little bit that in those yeshivos that they only said it in the aser yemei tshuva. V'chein amar Rav Amram. So Rav Amram going by aser yemei tshuva mashkim lebeit hakneset b'chol yom u'matchil. So Rav Amram going also says that only in the aser yemei tshuva do we say slichot, and he already tells us what we know to be the format of slichot that we'll talk about also. So shliach tzibur, manchil shliach tzibur, ashrei. You start by saying ashrei, then v'kaddish, and then you say kaddish, u'machil tachanunim, then you beseech God, you say the prayers, u'misayim v'anachnu lo neida, then you conclude with tachanun, and v'kaddish, and then you say kaddish at the end. And that is the format that we follow for slichot. You say ashrei. We'll also speak a bit about the format and what that means exactly, and what we're supposed to take away from the format. But the format is ashrei, kaddish, then we say the tachanunim, then we say tachanun, and then we say kaddish again at the end. The Amar of Haigaon, Minhag Lomar Tachanuni Bahanach Asar Yamim Lechud. Rav Haigaon also said we only say it, our Minhag is only to say it during the Aser Yemei Tshuva. Vishmana Demimiksas Atarvata Kaimim Rosh Chodesh Elul. And he says, and I heard that in other places that they said it from Rosh Chodesh Elul. The Amri Debeis Salik Moshe Lahar Pam Gimel Venache Beluchot Shnio Biyom HaKippurim. So, and the reason was that Moshe went up to the mountain on this time period, like we said before. V'chol HaMosif Levakesh Rachamim Zechutu Lo. Right, Moshe went up on Rosh Chodesh, and it's also good to have more to ask for more rachamim, right? Better to daven more. Va'anu min hagenu kahanach dekaymi Rosh Chodesh Elul, the tour. I think this is the tour writing that he says that the minhag in his time was that everybody did from Rosh Chodesh, which is the right. The Shulchan Aruch is going to quote that, and that's going to be the minhag of Sfardim. Umin an Ashkenaz. So already we see from 800 years ago, 700 years ago. That already there was this split in Minhagim. They were different areas that were doing different things, which I think makes a lot of sense. The Gemara never says you should say Slichot. We're going to also come back to that point. Slichot is a Minhag. So Minhagim would have developed differently in different locations. So this is interesting because a lot of times Minhagim don't necessarily go back a thousand plus years. A thousand plus years is a very long time for the Minhagim to go. And he quotes the Minhag Ashkenaz, which is going to be the one that we're from, that we follow. Minhag Ashkenaz kishachar Rosh Hashanah biyom hey o b'Shabbat. When Rosh Hashanah comes on Thursday or on Shabbos, az matchil biyom rishon shelefanav. We start from the Motzei Shabbat before. But lamod ba'ashmor taboger, to wake up at the end of the night, v'omrim slicho v'tachanunim, v'rov hatzibur mit'anin. This is also interesting, that the Torah quotes that most people fast on the days that they're saying slicho. That's something that I don't think people generally do as much today. Umid palalin tefilat tanit, and they would daven the davening for a fast day. Uchshachar Rosh Hashanah bebet o gimel, and Rosh Hashanah comes on a Monday or a Tuesday. Az matchilim biyom rishon b'shavu shalifnei hashavu uchshachar Rosh Hashanah liyavodocha. So the minhag Ashkenaz is always to begin on a Motzei Shabbos. We're going to see also in a minute that you always need to have 4 days of Slicha before Rosh Hashanah. So, because we always need to have 4 days of Slicha before Rosh Hashanah, and we always begin on Motzei Shabbos, so now, if Rosh Hashanah is on, starts on Thursday, so good, so Motzei Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, even Erev Rosh Hashanah, you got your 5 days of Slicha. But if Rosh Hashanah is on a Monday or a Tuesday, if you begin on Motzei Shabbos, which is like this year, if you begin on Motzei Shabbos, you only have Motzei Shabbos and Sunday, you only have 2 days. You don't have your 4 days of Slicho, which we're going to explain the reason for that in a few minutes.
That's Monday and Tuesday.
So because of that, this year we're going to not begin the Motzei Shabbat a few days before Rosh Hashanah. We're going to go back the 9 days, whatever it is before Rosh Hashanah. So we got Slicho. But don't forget that the Torah quoted a few lines before that, Levakesh Rachamim Zechud Hulo. Kol HaMosif Levakesh Rachamim Zechud Hulo. So we get to... You're like this. We get to have more supplications, more slichot to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and less sleep.
When I was going to say more early mornings. Right?
Yeah, less sleep.
Right.
Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch quotes this as the split in the minhagim. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Noagim lakum bashmoret lomar slichot v'tachanuni mirosh chodesh elul ve'elach ad yom hakibur." The Shulchan Aruch says the minhag is to wake up. We're going to talk about the time frame for the ideal time frame for slichot. Ashmoret is the end of the night, right? The time period before sunrise is the ideal time to say slicho. So we're going to talk more about that in a few minutes. But the point now is that it's from Rosh Chodesh, and the Rama says, "Uminag Ashkenaz eino ken." He says the minhag of the Ashkenaz is not to do this, and he quotes what we just said, that the minhag, the Ashkenazi minhag, is we start Motzei Shabbos, and if Rosh Hashanah is on a Thursday, we do the Motzei Shabbos right before, and if Rosh Hashanah is on a Tuesday or Wednesday, we start a week and a half before that. Okay, so now what's the reason?
What? The same thing?
Who?
The Bible says the same thing?
I do not know. I do not know what they do. I don't know. If you find out, let me know. I don't know what their minhag is. It's a good question. Okay, so what's the difference between these two? What's the rationale? Why would you start on Rosh Chodesh versus starting the Motzei Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah?
More.
Okay, but I guess the question maybe is what are we trying to accomplish? Uh-huh. So the Yalkut Yosef in source 7 says Minhagenu lakum vashmor davoker lamar slichot hacham yom Rosh Chodesh elul ad yom Kippurim. So it starts on Rosh Chodesh. Ki misorat biadenu shemosh Rabenu alav shalom alav laviat aluchod hashnia b'Rosh Chodesh elul. Right, again coming back to what we had at the beginning. Moshe Rabenu went up on Rosh Chodesh elul v'yardim luchod b'yom Kippurim v'chol arba'im yom halalu heima yimei rachamim v'ratzon l'chol am Yisrael. Right, because Moshe went up, and this whole time period, really, Moshe was up there davening. The whole time period is really a time period of davening. So based on that,
makes a lot of sense.
Start on Rosh Chodesh. Makes a lot of sense. I think there's Ashkenazim that I've heard, people from our neighborhood, etc., they try their best to say, to go every morning to say with the Sfardim.
They do?
There are some, yeah. Somebody told me that... His father and father-in-law goes, and there's some people here. There's nothing wrong. You're going to Davi.
Makes a lot of sense.
Okay, and then he finishes off that on Yom Kippur was when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said Salachti Kivarecha. You know, from that we read on the Tani, Salachti Kivarecha. That came on Yom Kippur, and that's how Yom Kippur became the day of Slicha. Okay, so this is the rationale for the minhag of the Sfardim. The Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Brura in source 8 explains the Ashkenazi minhag of starting it much closer to Rosh Hashanah. So he says, Mishun shaharbe nagim lehit anot asara yamim Im Yom HaKippurim. He said that there's a minhag. I guess if the Mishnah Berurah is explaining a minhag that had been around for already 1,000 years that the Ashkenazim started later, then there must have been also this minhag to fast for 10 days for the Asar Yimei Tshuva. Right? I guess fasting for Tshuva is already a concept that is from Tanakh. So people, he said, there's a minhag to fast for 10 days. But now we have a problem, right? Why would you fast for 10 days? There's the Asar Yimei Tshuva, 10 days of Tshuva. You want to fast for 10 days. There's a problem. The problem is that you cannot fast on 4 of those days from Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. You're not allowed to fast on Rosh Hashanah. That's 2 days. Not allowed to fast on Shabbos. You're always going to have a Shabbos. That's 3 days. You're not allowed to fast on Erev Yom Kippur. There's a mitzvah to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. There's always going to be 4 days that you cannot fast. So now what are we saying? We're saying, well, you take those 4 days, and this, I think, maybe even connects to the Torah pointing out that people would fast along with the Slichot. So now you take those 4 days and put them before Rosh Hashanah. So you got 4 days of Slichot before Rosh Hashanah that you're saying Slichot, and for at least all these people that are fasting, they're fasting on those days. So he says this, and he says, "Lo'olim yachzur dal yamim Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim shelo yuchlu lehitano dahainu bet yamim Rosh Hashanah 2 days for Rosh Hashanah v'Shabbos Shuva v'erev Yom Kippurim lechach tzarech lahashlim dal yamim kodim Rosh Hashanah." So he says, therefore, you always get 4 days, and then maybe it's not as strong of a reason, but uchdei sheyeh yom misuyom lahadchala tikno yom rishon b'chol pam. We always want to just start at the same time. We always want to start on Motzei Shabbos. It sounds, my reading of this is, it sounds less confusing for people. Otherwise, you're always going to have to, it's just another thing to know. You count your 4 days, you have to, what's going on. Just the easiest thing to know is Motzei Shabbos. I believe that there, and this is only, I didn't look into this, but I'm almost certain that there are Svarim who talk about I probably heard a shiur about this once, the connection between Shabbos and Slichot, that we want to start Slichot right after Shabbos. That there's not just, it's not just that we're picking a day, that an easy day that everybody's going to remember Yom Rishon, but that there's an inherent connection between the two. Which it could be from the Slichot, B'motzei Shabbat Kidamnucha. That's the first Slichot that we're going to say is, the Pizmon, I think, is on Motzei Shabbos, we come forward to say the Slichot. So it sounds almost like there's a connection between those two. From the Mishnah Berurah, he says that we wanted to have it as a set day. And then he quotes another very good reason for why we start for 4 days closer, 4 days before, at least 4 days before Rosh Hashanah. V'od tam shekavu dal yamim shechein matzinu b'korbanot shetu'unim bikor mimum dal yamim kodim hakrava. So korbano, you need to set them aside for 4 days to be checking them to see if they have a blemish to them. V'chola korbanot b'parashat Pinchas k'tiv, and for all the korbanot, it says v'hikraftem ola. You bring an ola as a korban. V'hikraftem is a verb. You should bring a korban. I don't know if there's a sacrifice. I don't know if that's a verb. Bring a sacrifice. But now v'rosh hashana k'tiv, but for Rosh Hashanah, it doesn't say v'hikraftem ola. It says v'asitem ola. You should make an ola. And he quotes a drasha, "Lilameit sheberosh Hashanah ya'ase adam atzmo ki'ilu makrivet atzmo." When the Torah says "asitim ola," it says you should make yourself into a korban. Make yourself into a korban. V'lachein kavu dal yamim levaker kumum mechatato lashuv aleim. That's why the 4 days of the mum for a korban is you're checking yourself for 4 days, looking over all your actions to make sure that you're blemish free before being a korban on Rosh Hashanah.
Very pretty.
Yeah, yeah, very, yeah, yeah. Very, very nice drasha. So the Mishnah Berurah gives us two reasons. Reason two is to check yourself for the blemishes like a korban. Reason one is because of finish of taking 4 more days to fast, because there was 4 days from the Asar Yimei Tshuva that you could not fast. Okay, so now we'll try to go through some of the halachot here. Although we're already going to see, I just said halachot, but we're going to see the Pnimei halacha right now in Source 9. Av shelo tiknu rishonim lomar slicho kechova kachu minhag Yisrael. Right, it's not an obligation to say slichot. It's not a mitzvah. It's not a, you must say it or else.
Yes.
But it's a minhag Yisrael. It's a long-standing minhag to say slichot. And therefore, based on this, omna misha hikim al slichot kashelo. If it's very difficult for somebody, eino chayav lakum l'slichot b'chodesh halo. If it's very, very difficult, I wouldn't say, you know, you're just, you like to sleep in, so sleep in. If it's very, very difficult, then okay, so you didn't say slichot because it's not a chova, it's not an obligation, it's a minhag. But he then says, in the Aser Yemei Tshuva, yishtadel hakpid yoter lomar slichot. Try harder during the Aser Yemei Tshuva. And that could come back to the fact that we said a few minutes ago that the minhag in the yeshivot in Bavel was to only say it during the Aser Yemei Tshuva. So maybe because of that, there's this. Also, it's the Aser Yemei Tshuva. I mean, it's the Aser Yemei Tshuva. It takes on a probably slightly greater importance. So you should try a little bit harder to say it then. And then he says in the next paragraph also that Mishainu Yachol Lishon Mukdam, if somebody that can't go to sleep early, Vihikima Sicha Tigram lo Ayefoche ba Atiello Yuchal Male Chovata Bavodato, you for whatever reason can't go to sleep early, so if you wake up early, you're just not gonna be able to work. He says then even the Aser Yemei Tshuva, if it's gonna stop you from functioning, then we would say don't say slichot. I'm not sure that we would necessarily say the same thing for davening shacharis with a minyan, although there probably could be some factors there that are involved also. But it seems there's a bit more lenient by slichot. But he says if you can't say it, yishtada b'makom zot lomar pirkei tehillim. Try to say some tehillim. Try to do something more. V'im yirtzeh yuchal b'meshech hayom lomar kitei haslichot shemutur liachil lomar. Or if you have some time during the day, you can just take out your slichot and say at least some of it to yourself.
So women are not obligated to do slichot at all.
I was wondering. I didn't see anybody say anything about women. I'm going to try to look into this a little bit more about women saying slichot. There's nothing that I saw that would suggest that they wouldn't say slichot, but I don't know.
Because first of all, they don't have to go to an assembly. They don't have to daven with men.
Right. If they're not, right. It could be that it's on the minyan, so they might not have to, right. I don't know. It's a good question. I want to try to see if I can find some more sources on it.
Let us know. I'm curious about that too.
Okay. I was wondering, and then I guess I think it slipped my mind or something when I was preparing this.
Is there any of these that talk about why when they say Shabbat they have to make it at midnight or 1 o'clock?
Yeah. We're going to talk about that coming up now. You might not be judging from the look on your face. I'm not sure you're going to be happy with the sources. But the sources you have to say.
I get up early.
Oh, so fine. So then I tell you that then you'll be okay.
So where did that come
from? We'll talk about that. So just before we talk about that, it's just like we noted before that slichot, we have Ashrei, then we have Kaddish, then we have the Tachanunim, the slichot, then we have Tachanun, and then we have Kaddish with a Tidgaba, full Kaddish. So a number of those things are problematic to do on their own. For example, Kaddish Tidkabel has to come after davening. Tachanun has to come after a Shmona Esrei or an equivalent of davening. So Rav Shechter in Mipnine Harav, we're not going to see it inside for time constraints, but he points out that Slichot has a status of davening. Right? We say, usually we're not supposed to daven before praising God. So we say Ashrei at the beginning, which is one of the major praise of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Then we have the Kaddish at the end. He quotes a Gemara that, actually we need to see this Gemara, I just quoted it from the context here, at the beginning of Source 10, Katu v'parsha kitisa v'yavor Hashem al panav v'yikra, that God passed over his face and called out. The question here is, who's his face? So I think the pshat, I'm not even sure, it sounds like at least it might be Moshe's face, that God passed before Moshe and said the Yud Gimel Midot HaRacham. This is Vayavor Shem HaPanah Vayikra, Shem HaShem KaRacham Echanu,
yeah.
Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar B'Yochanan Milamed Shenit Atev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Keshliach Tzibor. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was his own face, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrapped himself up in a talis, like the Shliach Tzibor, V'Hera Lo LaMoshe Seder Tfila, and taught Moshe the Tfilot of the Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim. So based on this, another element of slichot is atifa, is covering yourself up with your talis, certainly for the shliach tzibor, and probably for everybody else too, that to put on a talis, which is the same thing as davening. I mean, not everybody covers their head with a talis, etc. That's could be a shiur in and of itself, but just like those who do cover their head for their talis for davening, they probably should also have a cover their head, at least for the Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim, because of the comparison between slichot and davening, that they seem to have a lot of the same rules. Is that clear?
You're saying that they would cover their heads when they say the 13 attributes.
Yeah, right, right. Maybe because that's davar shebikdusha, like you would do, cover your head for Shmona Esrei or for Kedusha or for Baruch Hu or something along those lines. You would cover your head for those two, at least, possibly.
After each time.
During each time.
When you would come to that point after...
Right.
Okay.
Right. This is what
is this where people would get it from, that they would cover it all their whole time, the whole thing, on a regular Shabbos or on a regular morning?
So I think that's a longer topic. I think if I'm not mistaken, the Mishnah Berurah points out that covering your head, maybe this is just me, but I for some reason I think as the Mishnah Berurah says that it's connected to humility. Usually if you're under something, then you're really by yourself. You're not looking around the room. You're just by yourself. It's more humble. But I'm not sure that there'd be a reason necessarily to cover your head for Psuka Dezimra other than that. Okay. For Dvarim Shebikdusha, things that are more like Baruch Hu, things that you need a minion for. Mm-hmm. That it could be that there's, because it's a Dvarim Shebikdusha, there's an extra element of holiness that it's better to cover your head for that.
Okay.
To cover your head for that, yeah. Okay, so this is, and then it's. I think Rav Soloveitchik has this idea, and I saw quoted in the Sefer Yeratzon from Rav Amital that also that first Motzei Shabbos we say Lishmoa El Harina VeEl Hatfila. So he quotes in here that Rina is a kind of tefila that involves just calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're saying it's less organized than Shmona Esrei. Then a Shmona Esrei is very organized. You're asking for certain things. This is us calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're not really sure what to say. I think the Rav points out even that Slichot is a lot of the Pesukim, etc. It's not even as organized. It seems a bit jumbled, right? We're quoting Pesuk after Pesuk from here, from there, from all over. And the point is that we're not really sure. We're calling out Pesukim for us to turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like we said at the beginning, refuge. Refuge, you have nowhere else to turn, so we're saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have no one to turn to but you. So this is the kind of tefillah. It's similar to other tefillah, but different, because other tefillah are more the Anshei Knesset Agdolah. They thought about what to write. They organized it. This is more of an innate calling out. And that's what Slichot is. So now we're going to... The time for Slichot, which is something that we had come up a few times already here. So the Penine Halacha says, in Source 11, Hazman hatov lamirat haslichot hu ba'ashmor taboker. The ideal time to say Slichot is the Ashmor Taboker, Kolom or Likrat Sof HaLaila, approaching the end of the night. So probably now it would be like 4 a.m., 5 a.m., something like that. Sha'az he shat rachamim v'ratzon, that's the ideal time of mercy. Sha'al shel tzipia, this is nice, Sha'al shel tzipia likrat aliyat ha'or v'gilui dvar shem olam. It's the time where we're looking forward to the rise of the sun. You know, it's a analogy or comparable to like God's word being revealed in this earth. Like the darkness leaves, the light comes in. That's the ideal time that we want to be saying Slichot. Uva'ota sha'a, and this whole paragraph is very nice. Kulam yishenim, everybody else is sleeping. Va'olam naki v'sheket mimachshavu numasim ra'im. The world is silent from bad deeds, all the evildoers, everybody's sleeping. Now's the time where nothing bad is going on, so we want to make only good in the world. Vatfila yotze me omek halev, and also I guess I kind of get this feeling too. Sometimes you're out and you're everybody else is sleeping. You really feel good that you're up and you're out and you're accomplishing. So he says the davening, it comes from a deeper part of your heart in this time. Uvokada kol mechitzot, it pierces all the mechitzot. Umit kabelet, and it goes to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. This is the ideal time to say Slichot. But he says, but kvar mishat chatzot halayla matchil hazman harayla amirat slichot. Even from midnight, from chatzot, halachic midnight, that's already a time for slichot, because this is already where like half the night is over, and now we're already we're getting closer to morning than it had been nighttime. So this is why we say slichot from chatzot, because this is already the beginning of us looking forward to the morning. The ideal time is closer to the morning to say them into the morning, but. Or I guess say them before Vatikin or something like that. That could be an ideal time. But if not, then you would go back to Chatzot HaLaila, to Halachic midnight. So now, Bidorot HaRishonim Anashim Regilim Lishko Lishachev Lishon Bishat Mu'char B'Laila. So nowadays, a lot of people go to sleep late. You go to sleep late. Uzman Akima Mekubal Hu Bein Shesh L'Sheva. So I this probably depends on a lot of places and factors, but he says a lot of people wake up between 6 and 7 a.m. So kisha time la achar shmorta boker. So the problem is that 6 or 7 a.m. is already two hours after the ashmorta boker, the ideal time to say slichot. Ve'im yakumu ba'ashmorat, and if you wanted to wake up earlier, you ayefim memeshach kol hayom. You're going to be so tired the rest of the day. Ve'avodatam ve'limudam alulim lehipaga. Your work, if you're learning, whatever you're doing, you're not going to get through the day. V'lachein rabim noagim lakum kayom l'slichot kisha'a o chatzi sha'lifnei ha'sha'a she'em regilim l'pala shacharit. So because of that, a lot of people, so you just say slichot 30 minutes before shacharis. You usually daven at 7:15, so you're going to say slichot at 6:45. V'av shekvar ala ha'shachar, even though the day already started, sha'a adayin ru'i l'amirat slichot. It's still, you could still say slichot after the sun rises. Okay. V'im yuchlu lomar slichot achar chatzot alayla adif. It's better to say it achar chatzot. So now we have best case scenario is to say it, let's call it 5 a.m. Second best case scenario is to say it at slicho, at chatzot, like chatzot alayla. And third best case is to say it 30, you know, just in the morning before davening. We should be careful not to let slichot get in the way of your daily functioning. But yesh omrim. So now, what about early slichot? There's some places that say slichot at 10 p.m. or something along those lines.
I think they do it there.
They do it here, yeah. They do it in a lot of places. So yesh omrim. That he says are those who say that if a congregation cannot organize themselves to make slichot at chatzot or at ashmorat, or I think it even sounds like you can't even get there 30 minutes before you're davening, because in a lot of places people have to rush to work and they can't wake up early anyway, so if they daven at 6 a.m. normally nobody's going to come to 5:30, they just can't do it because they got home the night before 10 p.m. Kehoraa sha'a, as like a temporary psak, rashai lomar slichot pe'eser balayla, you could say slichot at 10 p.m. the night before, lamrot sha'adayin lo igiyah shad chatzot, even though it's not chatzot. So he quotes Rav Moshe. We'll see that shuv in a second. Maybe we'll do it outside for time reasons. But then he says, Pnine Alecha says, Ulam lemaise adif lomar slichot biyachid bizman haroi. He says, I think it's actually better if you're in a place that the only, certainly it's better to not say it at 10 p.m. And if you're in a place where the only option is to say it at 10 p.m., he thinks it's probably better for you to just on your own the next morning. Rav Avadya Yosef has a tshuva where he says, even you can say before mincha time the next day, where it's on your own, say slichot by yourself, it's better to do it then. And the reason, and he's going to say the reason, but A lot of the time frame here is from Kabbalah. Oh. And from Kabbalah, it's very bad to say slichot before chatzot. Before chatzot is the time of din, is of like strict judgment. So to try to beseech God during that time is not only does it not accomplish anything, it seems from the Sifrei Kabbalah that it could be detrimental. I'm not sure. I don't know very much about Kabbalah. It seems detrimental. So certainly the people who rely on Kabbalah more for paskin halacha, or people that are more concerned with Kabbalah in general, they would tell you under no circumstances can you say it before. Can you say it before chatzot? And Rav Melamed says, like we noted, that he says it's a hora'at sha'a, it's a temporary measure. You could, but he thinks it's better to say it on your own. And he even quotes this in the this is the time period that there's midat hadin is before chatzot, and the world is filled with the darkness, because that's the time before the light. Like we know that chatzot is when we're already looking forward to the light. The time before that is the time of darkness. He thinks it's not a good idea. Rav Moshe in source 12 has the tshuva where he says it sounds from the tshuva that in whatever the location is, the shul, they would not have slichot otherwise, right? The question was either no slichot or slichot the night before 10 p.m. So Rav Moshe, I gave it as he writes that it's a hora'at sha'a. He says it's not like a psak for all time. It's a temporary psak. And he says that he thinks that just because it's not ideal for the Yigim HaMidot, it's still better for people to say them and and that people will awaken themselves for tshuva. Better for people to awaken themselves for tshuva the night before 10 p.m., says Rav Moshe, than for you to just cancel the slichot entirely and not have any slichot.
That's the answer now why the shul has it at 1 o'clock. Or whatever it is, 12:30, because it's
that's chatzot. That's exactly 100%. That's
my question is.
Yeah.
Why can't we just wait till Sunday morning, like every other morning?
Oh, your question's the first night, right? I don't know. There's a universal. You're right. There's a like this universal practice that first night to say them at chatzot.
Why not say it Sunday morning? You're going to be getting up every hour. I know the reason. The reason is more spiritual, probably.
It could just be Shabbos.
Just the
make right.
Get you in the mood. Like the
Mishnah Berurah said, that first day, we always want that first day to be the day,
I understand,
but... I have to check. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying it that first day.
Sunday morning.
I don't think so.
The thing is, if I came to shul Sunday morning, they're not going to say it here.
Right, then you wouldn't have a minion.
Can't say the 13 attributes.
Right, we're going to get to there in a second. Right, you can't say it by yourself. Right.
I can say it when they have the minion here. Right. But if they're not saying it, then I don't think I'm allowed to say it.
Right. That's where we're going to come to. You're not right. You can't say it by yourself.
When I say it by myself, I mean, if I say, like, let's say I went to the first minion on Sunday morning. Okay, I daven, and then I'm going to say, okay, now I'm going to do with the second minion. I'm going to do my slicha. So that there's a minion here.
Right.
But I still can't.
Oh, because they're not.
Yeah, they're not.
Right. If they're not right.
I still
right.
can't say the right.
Right.
Attributes
right.
Okay.
Okay. So we have a few more things. But that's really. It seems to be that the places who they could do it the next morning, or they could do it, but they're doing it at earlier the night before. I'm not sure that I would recommend joining such a group. I'm not gonna make a ruckus, protest. But it would seem from these sources that. Again, maybe the people there are so tired, they're very busy, it's not possible for them to do the next day, in which case we should still raise the question, maybe better for them to say by themselves at some point the next day. Like Rav Avadya Yosef says, you can even say before mincha time, you can even say the parts of slichot that you're allowed to say by yourself that we're going to come to. But Rav Avadya was very, I guess this Sephardi postgame are, I think, more Kabbalistically oriented.
So
from that perspective, I think once you're really focusing on Kabbalah, I think it's going to be almost forbidden to say it. If you start to talk about, well, stirring yourself up for tshuva, then you can come to the fact that, okay, maybe better to say before chatzot than to not say it at all.
Okay.
So we have two more things here, two more things to do. So the Penine Halacha quotes in the next source that it's important that a person by themselves cannot say the Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim, because that's a Davar Shebikdusha, that's something you need a minion for. So if, let's say you're in Slichot, he doesn't say this, but let's say you're in Slichot and everybody gets to the Yud Gimel Midot, so you probably should stop what you're doing, stop wherever you are, and go and say it with them. Right, because the point is to say, and really the ikar, I'm sorry if I didn't even point this out earlier, and I should have, the ikar of the slichot is the Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim. That is the most important part. The slichot, all the long paragraphs that we say, are all leading us up to saying the Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim each time. So, that's since that's the most important part, that's the part that you're going to want to say with the congregation. So, and I'm sorry, I should have pointed that out before, that the Yud Gimel Midot, well, we'll see now here too, where the Penine Halacha says, Omrim Slichot B'Minyan, Mibnei Shiyud Gimel Midot Rachamim Heim Dvarim Shebikdusha Shetzarech Minyan Kedei La'omrim. It's just like Kedusha, it's just like Baruch Hu, it's just like Kaddish, you need to have a minyan for it. And then he says, fine, this is what he says, that you need a minion, and it's the next paragraph, I was wondering where that was. The next paragraph, he tells us, important to know, what if you don't have a minion for slicho? What should you do? So if you want to say it by yourself, so then you'd have to skip, like you were saying, to skip the Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim, but there's another option. You either skip them, or you could lane it. So when you're laning it, you're not reading it as a dover shebik dusha that you need a minion for. You're saying it as like you're learning Torah. You're kind of changing it a little bit from davening to to Talmud Torah. So it could be that, I think maybe Rav Moshe says this also, that if that's the case, it might be better to say the whole Pasuk. Because when we say the Yod Gimel Midot HaRachamim, we end in the middle of a Pasuk. So if you're by yourself, you should try to do it, lane it or something along those lines, but finish that whole second Pasuk, because also you're, it's better, you're not really supposed to stop in the middle of a Pasuk, and it's showing that you're doing it as a Torah, like a Talmud Torah thing, and not as a Davening thing. But then he even quotes, there's a minhag to say it by a yachid. That's for the next thing. For the Yigim Amidos, we don't say it. And then he says, also some people say that things in Aramaic you should skip, and that's subject to machlokas. I didn't really prepare so much more on that. It could be that things that are in Aramaic from a Gemara, that when you're davening in a foreign language, I think you need a minion for your tefillah to work better or something along those lines. Talking about Gemara and Brachot, I believe. Okay, so we just conclude. So we mainly talked about the minhagim of Elul Shofar. We talked a lot about Slichot, about the halachot of Slichot. Mainly the structure of them, the times to say them, what you should say if you're a yachid. And now we're just going to conclude with what I thought was a very nice, different part from the Sefer Eight Ratzon, where the Gemara, we noted the very important Gemara for this saying Slichot, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrapped himself up in as a Shliach Tzibur, and he told Moshe, Ya'ase lefanai kaseder hazeh, you should do before me the following seder, and then the Gemara says, Hashem Hashem karachem v'chanu. So Rav Amital points out, and he quoting from others, that the Torah says, Ya'ase lefanai kaseder hazeh, do before me the following. It doesn't say Yomar. It doesn't say the Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim. It says do the Yud Gimel Midot HaRachamim. And he quotes, there's a Sefer Tomer Devora from Rav Moshe Cordovero, one of the leading Kabbalists in Sfat in the 1500s, where he wrote a Sefer all about the Yud Gimel Midot, the Midot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and about how we emulate the Midot of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, for example, he's quoting the pasuk from Micha, I think. But mi kel kamocha, no say avon, that all these things, we're supposed to emulate HaKadosh Baruch Hu to teach us patience, etc. The whole book is about us emulating the attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, at this time period, it's not enough to just think and say, we are focused also on ya'asu, on us becoming better people, which he says, it's not only ben adam l'makom. We can't only think that this time period is between us and God, but becoming a better person is also being ben adam lechavero. It's also between us and other people. So in our final source here that we conclude with, it's already a bit late, I apologize, but there's no shir after us. So now back to the schedule from 2 years ago, where I think I went late every week. So the Rambam, this is just part of the Rambam, Hilchot Tshuva. Maybe we'll also get to talk a little bit about Tshuva at some point. There's a lot for us to squeeze in for the next three weeks that we have for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur topics. But the Rambam says, Tzorech kol adam shiyira atzmo kol hashana kula kilu chetzio zakai vechetzio chayav. A person should view themselves as if they are 50-50. 50% innocent, 50% guilty. V'chein kol ha'olam chetzio zakei v'chetzio chayev. And the world at large is 50% innocent, 50% guilty. Chet chata echad. And if one person sins, ha'rei hichriya et atzmo, he's going to change himself now to having 51% sins, 49% merits. I guess I translate zakai as innocent. It could be merit and demerit might be a better translation. 50% merit, 50% demerit, and if you sin, you're pushing yourself over. Not only you, but because if the whole world is 50-50, you're causing the whole world to go one step over. The garam lo hashchata is going to cause destruction. And then, but conversely, awesome mitzvah achat, if you do a mitzvah, hare hichriyat atzmo, you're going to cause yourself, your merits to rise. The kol olam kulo lechav zchut, and the whole world is gonna be saved on account of you. The garam lo velahem teshuah vehatzali, you're gonna cause the whole world to be saved. Shenemar v'tzadik yisod olam. There's a pasuk that says a tzadik is the foundation of the world. Zeh shet tzadik hichriya kol olam lezchut vehatzilo. The fact that you did a merit, you did a good action, is gonna cause the whole world to be saved. So I think this connects to the Rav Amital idea and the idea of Elul, and really every day of the world is 50-50, and it's ya'asu. It's up to us to ya'asu lefanai kaseder hazeh, to do the actions to bring a Yeshua and a Hatzalah for us and for the whole world.